We're going to continue the show now by having our regular Bridging the Gap conversation presented by Orange Partnership. We often regularly do this on a Friday, but we had Diamond Heel Baseball that moved this segment over to this Wednesday afternoon. Still presented by Orange Partnership, where on the first, we meet partners working together to close communication gap between parents and their children and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. And this month, we are talking with Anna Stormzand, Injury Prevention Coordinator, UNC Health Trauma Program. Anna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We also have with us Jasmine Hernandez, an intern with Orange Partnership. Jasmine, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
And Jasmine, I forgot to ask you this before we were on the air. What school are you at?
I'm just now graduating from Orange High School.
You're graduating.
Yes.
How's that? How often have you been using that phrase so far?
Just now. I'm getting a little red thinking about that.
Is that like an exciting? Is that a nervous? Like where are you on the scale of being ready for this?
Very nervous because I really don't know what's upon the future for me. Well, yes.
Well, congratulations it's a big moment and it's a time of year to celebrate it. So
thank you.
Congratulations for sure. We want to get into the Orange Partnership aspect of this. It's a local coalition focusing on healthy communities, focusing efforts on enhancing protective factors that could reduce the likelihood of young people turning to substance use. So I'm going to have each of you now kind of introduce yourself and say how you got involved in this work. And Jasmine, we'll go ahead and start with you.
I'm Jasmine Hernandez. I'm a graduating senior from Orange High School, and I'm also an intern at Orange Partnership ADAPT program. And I'd say how I got into ADAPT would be that overall, I knew that there was some advocating part of the internship, but overall, I wanted to focus on my communication skills because growing up, I was a very shy person, and I knew that if I wanted to make an impact in my life, I knew that I had to be committed in communication and be more confident in with my speaking.
It's the voice of Jasmine Hernandez doing a very nice job speaking on the radio as we speak. So we also have Anna Stormzand from UNC Health. Anna, thank you for being here. If you could introduce yourself.
Part of my position through UNC Health Trauma Program is to coordinate a coalition called Safe Kids. So Safe Kids Orange and Safe Kids Chatham County. And part of that, Orange Partnership is part of that coalition. We know that if we focus on preventing substance use, we will actually prevent so much of the injury and violence we see. It's kind of like an iceberg, and at the bottom of this, we're just working at the tip. We have to work on mental health. We have to work on substance use prevention from the very get-go. So, and it's also my passion. Youth substance use prevention is a passion of mine, and I used to work at my former job. So happy to be here.
Glad to have you for sure. We'll keep it with Anna now because June is National Gun Violence Awareness Month, and it's just a good time as we kind of start the official summer with folks graduating from high school and whatnot to get into the topic of gun safety. So what do you think folks need to know?
Well, one thing that completely stands out to me is how many people are affected by gun violence in America. 130 people daily are killed in the United States, and over 200 are injured. Most people have a non-fatal injury, so they're going to have an injury they're going to be living with the rest of their life. It affects not only those people that are involved in that, but the bystander, the family, the loved one, those who witness it, right? They are going to be always waiting for that next incident to happen. So it is a wide-reaching problem in America. It really depends on intent, too, right? We tend to do an umbrella of gun violence, right? And this month is that. But it really depends. The majority of gun violence in America is suicide. So most people don't realize that at all. It's roughly 60%. Of all firearm deaths are suicides. After that, homicides, which includes partner violence and domestic violence, family violence, is 40%. The rest that gets a lot of news attention is very important, but the rest are very minuscule compared to suicide and homicides in America. It also depends on who, right? So something that stands out for me for gun violence is not equal at all. some populations have much higher rates of gun violence. Men, especially older men, kill themselves through suicide, especially with firearms, much more than any other population. And just having access to a gun increases your risk of suicide by 3 times, which is amazing. Just that fact alone. Homicides, Black Americans experience this way more than any other population. Children, it's a leading cause of death now. Firearms in America, it's a leading cause. But it's not necessarily, though very rare and tragic, it is not necessarily just finding a firearm. It is going to be homicide and suicides for children, as well as family violence. And then within a domestic violence situation, if the household has access to a gun, a woman is 5 times more likely to die. So those things stand out to me. We really have to be more nuanced about it and look at those things all differently and how to prevent all those things differently.
This is Bridging the Gap with the Orange Partnership. That's the voice of Anna Stormzand, Injury Prevention Coordinator for UNC Health Trauma Program. And we just had this big event downtown, the Wear Orange event, and it's kind of a whole movement. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about what that is and what it represents.
Yeah, and it was good to have the opportunity to remind myself what it is. So it started with a young woman's death. Hadiya Pendleton actually had just marched in President Obama's second inaugural parade in D.C. in the end of January 2013. And 1 week later, she was murdered in a playground in Chicago, just hanging out. So her friends, her family were trying to commemorate her life, take some action, take some awareness. And so they thought of orange, because orange is, unfortunately, the color you'd wear as a hunter to protect yourself. So that's where it sprung. They set up a date. Usually it's the first Friday we had last Friday into that weekend of June, and that's because that was when her birthday. So it started on June 2nd, 2015, which would have been her 18th birthday, and it's been going ever since. So it's a day of awareness building, but it's really a day of action leading into the whole month. So there are rallies like there were in the town Chapel Hill last Friday, outreach events, but really spurring people on not only to just build awareness, but to work on policies and advocacy work.
Visiting with Anna Stormzand and also Jasmine Hernandez, and we'll get Jasmine in here in just a moment. But before we get away from the gun violence conversation, I did want to ask for like some practical things that maybe folks listening yes. could do to help protect loved ones.
Yeah, and so it is summertime. People are going to be having parties. People are going to be out socializing. More and more people do have access to firearms, right? So we do see the incident go up. The easiest thing we can all do is focus on secure gun storage. So if you own a firearm or you know of someone who owns a firearm, a friend, a family member, especially if it's someone who's at risk of harming themselves or harming others, the 3 things we can do is unload each time you're using that firearm, lock each time after you've used it, and then store the ammunition and the bullets separately, right? So you can lock it with a trigger lock, a gun case, cable gun lock. Those are often free, and we'll talk about that. Easy things you could do also is just to say, hey, you know, so-and-so is going through a hard time. Let's get the bullets out of the household. Let's get the gun and have it go with an uncle or aunt for a few weeks. Maybe you're just having kids come visit for the summertime. Just to, you know, grandparents maybe having the kids for a month or so, and you just want those firearms out of there. You don't want to have any chances, right? So those are all options that are out there. Also, something really simple you could do is just dismantle it. So take it apart a little bit. The key, especially in suicide prevention, but also for kids accessing it unintentionally, is putting up a little bit of a barrier, right? So it is an evidence-based solution to put in a little bit of these barriers with secure firearm storage for suicide and prevention. And we have very little that we know actually works to prevent suicide. So it's very exciting. Kids are also, young people are spending more time at home, right? So they're going to have more access to firearms than they would maybe during the school day. So we want to make sure to have secure gun storage no matter where you're visiting, right? So your home and any place you might be going. And we want to put up those barriers. So we know, especially with suicide prevention, the time from thinking about it to going through with it is less than 15 minutes. So if someone has to go find bullets, go find the key, go put the gun back together, put all those things together, much more likely to have a text message from a friend or someone come home that dismantles that chain of thought and it can prevent a suicide. So those are some very easy things we can all do. There's a lot harder things that we could get into to prevent gun violence, but that's just one thing that us as a community, as a family members and friends can do.
It's the voice of Anna Stormzand. It is Gun Violence Awareness Month, but we're also just past Memorial Day, and the time between Memorial Day and Labor Day is the 100 Safest Days of Summer campaign from the National Road Safety Foundation. And we also have graduating Orange High School senior Jasmine Hernandez here to talk a little bit about that. What is that campaign and what are they going for there?
The time between Memorial Day and Labor Day during the summer have a high amount of road traffic with school getting out, letting out for summer, holidays, celebrations, and with vacation starting. During this time, people, specifically youth, are driving, causing more traffic than normal, which is honestly probably going to happen with me with summer, most likely with family, but yes, a little bit of friends as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of those things, too, where it's like you definitely age into this. I remember being a teenager and being like, I have the freedom to go drive. This is phenomenal. And now that I'm a parent, that's terrifying. So it's definitely something that we want to make sure that we've got top of mind, particularly when folks are out doing a lot more driving around. There's also like the psychological thing that's always fascinated me, where it's like, if somebody calls you at 7:30 in December and is like, hey, you want to go do this thing? Or you're like, I'm in, it's late. But if that happens in the summer, you're like, heck yeah, let's go. It's going to be light for another 3 hours. So there's just a lot more going around and doing. What is it that makes this dangerous for teen drivers in particular, Jasmine?
I'd say with school being out and teens now spending more behind the wheel, especially with some getting their driver's license or just practicing overall, it's more of a risk, especially they have the adrenaline to be out and just enjoying the sun, enjoying the weather, even if it's with just a family or even with a friend.
I'm going to put you sort of your family on the spot here. Do you have a curfew?
A curfew? I mean...
And if you don't want to answer that directly, the follow-up here is that if is there any more flexibility on that in the summertime than there would be during the school year? And I'm guessing that that's some version of that's the case for most teens.
For me, I don't know if it's different for every other teen, because I know some of my guy cousins, they have more freedom with their curfew, I'd say. But with me, my mom already understands that I don't really personally go out as like that. So, but even during the summer, especially, it's just me and my siblings every day, every night. And even if I do, it's always midday. So my mom really doesn't have a struggle with having a curfew, which I know she's glad about.
Yeah, absolutely. I did. When I was your age, I didn't really have a curfew either.
And I
was out late. It was, and it was fine. I wasn't doing anything bad, but I was like, now that I'm a parent, I'm like, my kid's not that age yet, but when the oldest gets there, I'm going to be pretty hesitant to just be like, yeah, I trust you. Come on home whenever. It's a tough
one.
I
never would have made it home.
Some sort of guidelines here. One last thing, Jasmine Hernandez from Orange High School. We're talking 100 Safest Days of Summer from the National Road Safety Foundation. What can folks actually do to help participate in road safety during the summer? What's, let's say, actionable items for people?
Well, I'd say keep the inexperienced teen of drivers. Most likely just practice on their own, but not on the highway, unless they're ready, and also making sure that they're not peer pressured into staying out late or being specifically on the way to somewhere. Like, if you know that they can't make it at that certain point, then it's okay. Like, you don't have to end up being at a party or being at a sleepover or being like last minute something. I know that for sure, especially with having heard with cousins, my cousin's friends having to situate themselves, knowing that they can't really drive, nor that they have like a designated driver or something like that. So, yes.
And I'm just going to add too, if you are a new driver, so someone who just got their license, right? And a lot of people are getting their driver's license later and later. I know when I turned 14, I was
Yeah, at the second you could have any sort of permit whatsoever,
things have changed. Yeah,
people are definitely a lot of people don't want to get that.
And so it could be any age. Anyone who's getting a driver's license, a new driver, definitely want to practice as much as possible. So you want to practice on highways and rural roads and during a thunderstorm and during, you know, fog. But you want that person that you trust to be in the front seat, because you don't want the first time for those things to happen, like hitting I-40 traffic on a Saturday morning when people are going to the beach on your own. So taking those opportunities, maybe outside of your normal routine, but taking those opportunities, like maybe there's a thunderstorm. Okay, at least try. Let's go around the neighborhood a few times. Let's see how it is to brake, right, in a thunderstorm. Let's get on 15501 at 5 o'clock on a Thursday night and see the difference. So getting as much experience as possible with a trusted adult is one of the best things you can do. Yeah.
It's the voice of Anna Stormzan. We're also joined by Jasmine Hernandez, and we're just about out of time. Thanks for tuning in to Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to close the communication gap between parents and their children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. Find more information at orangepartnership.org. Anna and Jasmine, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Of course.